Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, does that silence it a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It.
Pop pass up the middle. Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit it in for an early touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In go to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1. ESPN Radio, Utica Rome. Heard! 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing. The ESPN app. Seen, heard, and everything in between, ladies and gentlemen. At QSportsTalk.com. Oh, what a website. I mean, there are many, many, many websites on the internet. I think now that as the great Homer Simpson once said, they've got the internet on computers now. I think this internet thing is here to stay, friends. I think it's going to stick. I don't think it's going to go the way of New Coke or some other failures in the history of the world, like, you know, Pauly Sebelius' whole life, basically, and many other failures. Throughout the history of humankind, I think that internet's going to stick around. So we said, you know what? We think we're going to be a part of this internet thing. We think it's not a fad. Like, we're actually going to kind of stick around and do this. So we made a little website. It's called QSportsTalk.com. And on everything in between, QSportsTalk.com, what you can do, friends, this is what the internet allows you to do, that wild internet. It allows you to watch a radio. I mean, just take that in for a second, friends. Just think of maybe your grandpa telling you stories about back in my day, Sonny, we would sit down by the radio and we would listen to Little Orphan Annie. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. And let me tell you something. We scheduled our whole life. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Little Orphan Annie was coming on. Now think of your grandpa listening to Little Orphan Annie, and the radio is your whole life. Now, tell grandpa. Now, grandpa, there's this thing now that you can could watch a radio show, to which grandpa would respond, "You better get off them drugs, or I'm going to tell your father." So that probably wouldn't go well for you. But for the rest of us that understand QSportsTalk.com and what it does, go watch. Go chat throughout the show and be a part of the show. It's amazing. It's just incredible. We love QSportsTalk.com. If you listen on the radio or on the ESPN app, that's appreciated as well. It's our Friday. We are not here tomorrow, so our last show of the week. A lot of things to get into, heading into what will be a longer weekend than usual. We will not be here Monday. Juneteenth is on Monday, holiday, so we will not be here on Monday. So a lot to jam into this Thursday, heading into a U.S. Open weekend, heading into the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals continuing. Boeheim's Army, the roster is known. We'll soon get the bracket. That is next week. You can see Boeheim's Army in Syracuse, New York, once again this year. We're going to talk about all of that, the makeup of the roster, and so much more with the great Kevin Belby, the general manager of Boeheim's Army, defending TBT champions. How will this team defend its championship? What will be the themes? What will be the important steps they'll have to take as they are now the hunted, as opposed to the hunters in TBT, with that $1 million prize. So much to talk about with the great Kevin Belby. He'll join us coming up about 5:05. We're scheduled to chat with him. Being our last show of the week, the draft has kind of moved to Thursdays. That's typically going to be our last show of the week through the summer. And, you know, we threw around a few different ideas this week. We just passed recently the anniversary of the last episode of what I consider to be the greatest show television's ever aired.
Right.
And maybe it's because I haven't watched The Wire yet. That's going to be one of my summer projects. Slowly but surely watch The Wire. Never watched it. So maybe that will replace this. But given that we just passed the anniversary of the last episode, that always stirs a discussion about what happened to Tony Soprano. Spoiler alert, he got shot. We thought we'd do a Sopranos draft. So we will draft, and remember, we don't just do drafts on the show. We combine the radio bits. We will draft the Mount Rushmore of all things Sopranos. I would imagine this would be a draft pick. I mean, this is one of the great theme songs to a television show ever. It's one of the great openings of a TV show, period. I think it's the greatest opening to a TV show that you can get. I mean, Tony driving from New York City to Jersey. They did the Super Bowl commercial this year. Like, within 2 seconds, you knew what was going on. And I just jumped out of my chair as if the Bills won the Super Bowl, which will happen one day, friends. Right? So that'll be our draft today. I'll have some fun with that. We'll draft the Mount Rushmore of Sopranos things. We mentioned hockey. Yes, there was a Stanley Cup final last night, unless you watched ESPN's two lead opinion shows. And look, I know I've been maybe a little annoying with this on Twitter and somewhat on the radio show, and my quest is certainly not going to be successful in what I aim it to be, though it is certainly making inroads in some of the right places. So mission accomplished in somewhat a vein there, as I will get into later, but we'll focus on the game itself, the NBA Finals tonight. Can the Warriors close it out? Take home a title in Boston. What a sports week in Boston. Red Sox, of course, playing a lot better baseball than they have been. Still about 12 games back on the Yankees. The U.S. Open is at Brookline. Celtics in the NBA Finals. Always a big sports town, but a lot happening there. We'll keep you up to tabs on the U.S. Open. We'll have some U.S. Open updates throughout the show, but if anything big happens there, we'll let you know. Phil Mickelson's out on the course. He did get somewhat of a nice reception. Not too many jeers from the Brookline crowd, but Phil, last we checked here, about 5 over par. So he's got his money. Good for you, buddy. Got that $200 million or so from the LIV Tour, but winning the U.S. Open not in the cards for Phil Mickelson. A lot of guys log jammed about 3 2-under. So we'll keep you updated on that throughout the show. And as the expression goes, so much more. So. Let's get into this, shall we? What I want to start with is a little bit of a follow-up to something I was talking about on the show last week, and I'd like to send some shout-outs and appreciation to people that have reached out, that have read the column, that have sent me some messages on Twitter. It's fun. I thought I was hitting the right note on something, and you're always a little bit nervous, though, when you do these things, and I put a lot of time into this. I talked to a lot of people for this. You know, some columns, I sit down, bang them out in about 2 hours because you just kind of feel a certain way about something. You're reacting to a game, but, you know, writing is such a different process for different kinds of stories, and I knew this one needed time, needed to really reflect and take a breath and talk to some people and, you know, really lay it out as best as I could, and I still feel like maybe I could have done a few more things. Every writer thinks that about every story they ever write, but I really put some time into this one, and I appreciate that people were interested in this. I mean, just a tweet that I put out last night teasing what the article was about, that we're all familiar with the story of how the shot clock has its roots here in central New York. I mean, everybody knows that bedtime story. Danny Biazone and Leo Ferris and the Syracuse Nationals and basketball back in the 1950s. Now, remember, the NBA was only about a decade old at this point. I mean, the NBA's phony 75th year anniversary that they're celebrating this year, as my friend Mike Waters has documented well, it's not true. I mean, it's just flat out not true, but it's a nice story for them to tell, and they're sticking to it. They're wrong. One of the NBA's lead historians has said they've got it wrong. The formation of the league was not as they claim it is, but, you know, I mean, that ship has sailed at this point. No matter what the correct formation of the NBA is in your mind, at this time in the mid-1950s when the shot clock came to be in Syracuse, New York, was presented to the NBA owners. The league was only a decade old, but man, the NBA was in trouble. Games were slow. They were low scoring. You had teams holding the ball. You know, I was talking about Grandpa sitting by the radio listening to Little Orphan Annie. I mean, that was literally what basketball was.
And Dr. Naismith, great game here. Is look at this pass. Look at this pass here. Look at this pass. Oh, another great pass. Oh, look at this. Let's hold on to the basketball and chat about Little Orphan Annie for about 30 seconds here. Oh, look at that pass over there. That don't shoot the ball. Why would you shoot the ball?
Look at that pass. Like, that's what basketball was. And it was boring, and it was stiff. And even then, the owners knew, like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Attendance was declining. The games were terrible. And they knew something had to be done. And look, Danny Biasone, for a good 4 or 5 years, was begging the owners to implement the shot clock. The shot clock idea had been bouncing around, but he actually manufactured one. Imagine the NBA meetings in Syracuse, New York, as they were in the summer of 1954. Red Auerbach is here, all the bigwigs in the league, again, still a young league, about a decade old, but they're all here. And they finally agree, like, okay, attendance is down, this game's moving slow, these games are 19 to 18, we've got teams holding the ball, and we've got to do something about this. So the shot clock gets approved, but before they could implement the shot clock, they had to try it out. And they tried it out about 2 blocks from where I sit. Now, at the time, it was the Blodgett Vocational School. I mean, this building, this school, which is now part of the Syracuse City School District as the Syracuse STEM School at Blodgett, built in 1915. Okay, Danny Biasone went to school there. They were actually going to have this exhibition that I'm going to tell you a little bit more about in a second at Nottingham. But at the last minute, Danny Biasone says, no, let's have it at Blodgett. He remembers that gym that even then was still kind of old school and the feel to it, and he wanted to honor the school that he was so proud of. You know, Danny Biasone spoke often when he was alive about being an immigrant and what that meant to him and his roots, and he wanted to have it at that school. So they move it to that school. The exhibition itself did not go well in the sense that the whistle blew constantly. The owners had a lot of questions. Dolph Shea's place in that game, and of course the mural is going up in downtown Syracuse. We'll talk more about that next week. I'm sure most of you have heard, but if you haven't, there's a terrific basketball mural that is being completed as we speak that includes the story of the Nationals and Dolph Shea's, and the rich pro basketball history just really comes alive in this conversation here. But Dolph Shea's plays in that game, and he's frustrated. He doesn't know how this thing works. He's like throwing the ball off the backboard to try to restart the clock. Billy Gaber, one of his teammates for the Syracuse Nationals, participates in this game. Nobody knows how this thing works. But the owner saw something. Red Auerbach, I don't know if he smoked a cigar in that gym. I would imagine he did. Saw something that day. Wait, this game can move. The 24 seconds makes this game move. There's something here, so it's approved. Despite the choppy exhibition that we saw, it saved the league. So the finals that season, the 1954-55 season, is Syracuse against Fort Wayne. Let me think about that for a second. It's high scoring. League scoring was up by 14 points per game instantly just by the implementation of the shot clock. Syracuse and Fort Wayne showed what basketball could be. Up and down the court, high scoring, a entertaining game, and taking the game into the future. Not the game that we saw in like that old grainy footage when Dr. Naismith was out there hanging peach baskets. Oh, another great pass that, Jimmy. Let's see 20 more of them. No, let's score. Let's move. Let's go up and down the court. It changed basketball. It set up Wilt Chamberlain to be able to score 100 points in a game. It set up Auerbach's Celtics to go at that pace and build a dynasty. When Red Auerbach sat in that gym, he had not won a single championship. I mean, 17 to come, and the Celtics were nowhere near a dynasty. Of course, the entire league was still in its young days then, but think about that. Red Auerbach in Syracuse, New York, at the owners' meetings, hadn't won a single title, would go on to win so many in his legacy with the Celtics. Think of as the NBA Finals goes on today with the Celtics participating in their 22nd Finals. That all is possible because they saved the league with that shot clock, and they saved the league with that shot clock in that gym in that exhibition game, which showed, okay, this can work. What if they went out there? By the way, one of them didn't even work. Danny Bison commissioned two shot clocks. One cost $1,200. They plug it in. It doesn't even work. There was another one that they had that cost $400. That thing worked like a charm, right? But what if they said, nah, I think eventually it would have been put in, but it was here. That gym, as you'll read in the story and you'll see the photos now, it's not just me telling you this. You can see this for yourself in these photos. It is in a serious state of disrepair. Now, the good news is, as a part of a citywide renovation, every building in the Syracuse City School District is getting money and has been getting money the past couple of years to get some much-needed renovations. The Blodgett School is set to get about $34 million in renovations. That does include the gymnasium. That sounds like a lot of money. $34 million can go a long way. It can certainly help, but it cannot completely revive a building, as I mentioned, that is over 100 years old and has a lot of serious needs. So I think the gym will get an upgrade. But see, we're in the time of the NBA Finals here, friends, and what we see in the NBA Finals, they always have that thing where it's like, oh, well, Draymond Green went to a soup kitchen and, you know, Steph Curry did, and these are great stories. I'm not trying to sound like that's in a mocking tone, but the NBA loves to brag about how it connects with its community and how it does these things to help communities in need, people in need, organizations in need. Well, my message to Adam Silver in the NBA is you have a gym in serious need of upgrade, a gym where your billion-dollar plus per year empire was saved by the implementation of that shot clock, the game to show what the shot clock could do. Now, the NBA is fully aware, of course, of Danny Bison, the legacy of the shot clock. We've got the monument downtown. It's they've all been recognized. Now, Leo Ferris is not in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame yet, which is an utter joke. That not only did Leo Ferris invent the shot clock, Bison, Ferris, this is a whole different story for a different day, were one of the first to actively seek out and sign African-American players in the 1940s and 1950s and just normalize that at a time when it had to be. Jackie Robinson in baseball and so on and so forth. Somebody needed to be game breakers there, and they were. And the fact that Leo Ferris is not honored in the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's such a joke, I could do a whole show on it. But we'll save that for another time. So, hey, Adam Silver, you got yourself a great little story here, a nice little package that probably too late to come and fix and do for these finals, but you can do it for the next finals. As a matter of fact, the 70th anniversary of that game is approaching. So that exhibition game that I talked about took place in August of 1954, 68 years ago. So you have some time here to come and to see what the gym needs and to send your camera crew and do your thing and get all the photo ops you want. And hey, look what we did. Not only did we turn around a gym that desperately needs it in a community that could use a comeback, a school that has made some great strides that 3 years ago was on the verge of like being taken over by the state because of underperformance, but the Lions are roaring over at Blodgett. There's a comeback in place, and they're trying to do what they can to stand out and to move forward. And here's where the NBA can step right in, not only to help the school and help the kids and kind of take the ease off of renovating a space, a safe space for kids to play all sorts of games. I mean, look at the photos. Look at the photos in that story. Ceiling tiles like that are above my head right now in a radio studio. Like, what are we doing here? There's heaters on the wall. There's the bleachers are the ones you roll in. The floor is four different colors brown because of the different resurfacing and things that have had to be done. There's ceiling tiles missing. I'm there recently as part of reporting this story, and the kids are playing kickball, and Pop Fly knocks out a ceiling tile. And one of the quotes in the story from one of the young ladies I talked to who goes to the school, she looks up there. It's kind of funny, but, it's also sad in a way because she's like, man, when they take out those tiles, about 100 volleyballs are going to fall down, right? What are we doing? You can't have a gym where a ceiling tile could come down on somebody's head and there's like 100 volleyballs and all sorts of sporting equipment up there. The great Dennis Nett, our photographer, came with me. There's a clear picture of, there's a football up there. Like, what are we doing here, right? It just shows you the state of disrepair this gym is in. So it's not just how the NBA can help. It's the NBA coming in and recognizing the hallowed ground that that gym is, not only helping to turn it around and give themselves a nice little feel-good story, but there is no recognition at that place of what happened there. To steal a current phrase, if you know, you know. To this day, to this moment, I speak to you. There is no sign. There is no plaque. There is no monument. There's nothing. You just kind of have to know the story. I go to the school. I'm talking to some of the security people that, very nice people, that we had a great conversation with. And I'm talking, I wish I got her name. I was talking to one of the security guards at the school. And she's like, oh, what are you guys doing here? And she knew we were, from the newspaper and Syracuse.com. And I kind of told her, like, what we're doing here, what happened in that gym. You should have seen the look on her face. Like, even some people that work at the school are like, what, that happened? In this school, in that gym? Yeah. Like, even they recognize it's a pretty big deal. So while there is help on the way, and I think that gym is, they haven't finalized the plans for how that money is going to be spent. That school's got a lot of needs, frankly, so I'm not sure how much attention the gym's going to get. I mean, this is just sitting there for the NBA. You honor your history. You preserve an important part of what formulated your league, and you help a gym that desperately needs to be renovated in a part of town that desperately needs a place like that for those kids to be. And you got yourself a nice little story. And they get what they need, and I think everybody gets made more aware of, we all know the shot clock story. We all know that bedtime story, but I don't think enough people know. Well, yeah, the shot clock was invented here, but we had to prove that thing worked. And they did it in a little gym about two blocks away that could use a little tender love and care right now. So hopefully this works its way up through the power of media and social media and other means up to Adam Silver's office. And they said, yeah, you know what? We should probably go take care of that. That's sacred ground there in many ways. So appreciate you listening to that story and letting me tell that story. And if you read the column, I appreciate that. If you haven't, I hope you can take a moment to take it in, as it kind of tells two different stories in one. And on that note, we'll break. We will come back. We've got some NBA finals to get into with the Celtics and Warriors. Got some Stanley Cup to get into. We got Kevin Belby coming up, speaking of hoops, and Boeheim's Army. And not only they come back to chase a title and chase $1 million, but they're always out in the community doing great things as well. We'll talk to Kevin Belby about what their plans are going to be this year. We know what the roster is, but what are some other things to come together? The Sopranos draft, as we go through a Thursday edition of the program, we'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open. Lot to do as we cruise forward here. Let's get our stock market update here. Our friend Mike is here to tell us all about that. It's been an up and down week on Wall Street. Where are we today, Mike?
Back down today, Brent, and all I can say is thank God for the U.S. Open. It diverted our attention from the market a little bit. This afternoon, we closed down 740 points in the Dow, so we gave back all of yesterday and another 400 points or so. The S&P closed down 123 or 3%, and the big loser again was the NASDAQ down 4%. So we closed at New Year lows. Not a lot of diamonds out there. We did have one after hours. U.S. Steel, which was down for the day, announced after hours that the earnings were going to actually be a little better than expected, and the stock's trading up 80 cents or 4% after hours. Our dog is going to be Adobe, the software company, which has been a great company, great stock over the last 10 years or so, closed down 12 points to 365, and then after hours is trading down another 17 points on poor earnings and poor earnings guidance. So tough day, and we're hoping we can get a little rebound tomorrow, the end of week. But it's been a tough day and a tough week on Wall Street.
Well, like you said, we got the open and a few things to take your mind off it, and we know you guys will help guide us through those ups and downs on the market. Mike, appreciate that. You have yourself a good weekend. It's our friend Mike from Lee Baldwin & Company. You can find it at LeeBaldwin.com, or better yet, stop in Kaz or Utica and let them help you. Help me help you. Let them help you through what's been, as Mike said, a pretty stressful week, and we'll continue to follow that, but that's what our friends at Lee Baldwin & Company are there to help you do. You're on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. We're back after this. Stay right there.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back. I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm smiling. You're on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com, as we approach the magical time of 4:44 to remind you, if you have been hurt in a car, it's time to call William Mattar. 444-4444. Uncle Brent had to go out to get his phone. I don't know why I'm referring to myself in the third person, but I had to go out and get my phone out of the car during the break, and heard a little rumble or two, even in just the 30 seconds it took me to go get that. So with a tornado watch in effect for most of central New York, everybody keep an eye on the sky. It's very dark where we are here in central New York. Ominous clouds rolling in, wind starting to pick up. So hope everybody be safe out there. It's a little severe weather working its way here into central New York. Let's do some hot takes, shall we?
We've got a hot one for you.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And I'm not afraid to cry. So hot.
So hot it hurts. Yes, sir!
Man, it's hot. How hot is it? It's so hot, I poured McDonald's coffee in my lap to cool off.
It's time for hot takes on the block.
6:25 to go, second period. Sergachev, arrester, and he scores! Given they've already won two Stanley Cups, they continue to do it. Compher had his shot blocked by Hedman. Score! Burakovsky on the follow-up! And game one goes to the Avs in overtime!
The great Sean McDonough on the call. Syracuse alum, ABC, a back-and-forth game. Terrific game one of the Stanley Cup final last night. Colorado takes it 4-3, a very quick overtime. They actually started that overtime in a power play that carried over from the end of the third period. And look, I don't know what else to tell you. You got two great teams going back and forth, entertaining game. Colorado gets out to a 2-0 lead. Tampa comes back. The Avalanche blew a second two-goal lead, goes to overtime. I don't know what to tell you. If you're not watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you're not watching the Stanley Cup final now, I mean, you're just missing out. And I'm not even going to go on my rant about how the two lead opinion shows on ESPN are completely ignoring the Stanley Cup final. Like, literally, it's not just what they put on their social media feeds. I made it a point today while I was doing work at home to keep those shows on in the background, because that can only take so much of. I love my man.
Palms get sweaty. Backsides get tight.
It just gets very loud, and I just, like, you know, starts. You know, like certain noises, like nails on a chalkboard or something, just start getting to you after a while. I'm like, okay, mute. But I kept my eye on every segment. They didn't talk about the Stanley Cup final, which is on their property. It's on a Disney property on ABC. They now are the rights holder. It's one thing when ESPN didn't have the rights to the National Hockey League and would ignore it, and you want to promote your own stuff, that's fine. But to completely ignore a Stanley Cup final that is a team that's going for a third straight title and one of the highest scoring teams we've seen in the history of the National Hockey League. You can't put John Buchegross, Steve Levy, Linda Cohn, the great Barry Melrose, Greg Wyshynski, Emily Kaplan. You have Mark freaking Messier on the payroll. He's one of the most recognizable faces in the history of the sport. He definitely passes the mom test. Like, my mom would know who Mark Messier is, okay? Non-hockey people would look at him and be like, okay, I know that guy. You can't give him a segment I'm only talking like a few minutes here. Why are they so afraid on the two lead opinion shows in the morning? Which, why is this important to you, Brent? Because they set the table for sports conversation. You're in the hockey business now. It's the freaking Stanley Cup final. Yet what I have to hear is 2 hours of Steph Curry's legacy and a 15-minute segment about Anthony Davis and the Lakers. You know, the Lakers that, did they even make the playoffs this year? Like, it's the Stanley Cup. It's on your airwaves. And you can't even put it on these shows that supposedly drive the sports conversation. It drives me freaking crazy. And by the way, I'm starting to hear from some people that I know that work at ESPN, and their excuses are so pathetic, I wish I could expose them. I wish I could just read the text messages to you that I'm getting and just how dumb it is that the supposed worldwide leader in sports cannot give the Stanley Cup final on its own airwaves on with one of its rights holders 2 minutes on that show. 2 minutes. So anyway, that beyond. Great start to the final. Here's my worry, and I talked about this a bit with Liam McHugh on the show yesterday from the NHL on TNT, which, you know, don't even get me going how much better their coverage is. Colorado's got to stop digging itself these holes. Now, they got off to a 2-0 lead last night, lost it that quick. Darcy Kemper's just going to do that. He's not a good goalie. Colorado is really a rarity in that they can get away with not having a consistent goaltender. Edmonton made it to the Western Conference Final and just ran into this juggernaut with Mike Smith, who, man, you want to talk about Syracuse weather changing every 15 minutes? You just don't know what the hell Mike Smith's going to do minute by minute. Darcy Kemper, who's been hurt through this playoff, he's not going to lock it down. He's going to give up some cheapies, but Colorado can just score at such a quick rate and get back into a game like they did last night that they're always a threat. So Tampa's going to win a couple games in this series. I said Avalanche in six. It wouldn't stun me if it went seven, but off to a great start, great hockey game. We get the NBA Finals tonight because
that's hot.
I've heard about is Steph Curry's legacy and his impact, and you know, I mean, we get it. Okay, he's one of the greatest shooters of all time. If he enters, in some people's mind, top 10 player of all time, like, I think his legacy is pretty much set at this point. Why we have to haggle over this for 2 hours a day on these shows is beyond me. I mean, wouldn't an NBA fan, a big NBA fan, the supposed target audience of these shows, be like, why have you talked about this for five straight days? Like, do we repeat ourselves on this show sometimes? Yeah, once in a while, but if I was a regular viewer of these shows, I'd be like, guys, how many different ways can you ask the same damn question? But I'll play along. Here's what Stephen A. said about something I think he actually makes a good point on. I think Steph Curry's legacy is set. If the Warriors win the title tonight, would this be the best of the Warriors titles?
If Steph Curry wins the championship now, at age 34, performing the way that he has performed in these NBA finals, omitting game five, the way that he has performed in this NBA Finals series, the way he has led this team in these NBA Finals, because if we're being truly honest, Boston was supposed to be a bad matchup for Golden State. It isn't because Steph Curry is Steph Curry. And to be 34 years of age, to be playing the way that he has been playing, you just can't say enough about that.
I think that's fair. I think that's a good point. I just don't think it's going to happen tonight. I think the Celtics do. I think Steph's going to play a lot better tonight. I think the Celtics rally at home. That crowd has been huge. I think Tatum's going to finish at the rim more. Now, what the Celtics have got to cut back on are the turnovers. You just can't turn the ball over at that rate. And you know how Uncle Brent feels about free throws matter. You can't miss those free throws at that rate either. But I think Tatum is going to snap two tonight at home. Finish around the rim. Hit his free throws more. I think the turnovers, I think they've averaged 18 turnovers the last two games. I think they will cut back on that, and frankly, they're going to get some calls tonight. The Celtics are going to get some calls back at home. I feel like this will be the closest game of the finals because a lot of this series feels closer. It feels more competitive, but a lot of the games end up being like 10 to 12 point wins for whoever takes the game. Whoever wins it kind of takes over in the fourth quarter and has enough separation where it's like, yeah, maybe someone can go on a real heater here and take this thing. I feel like this will be the game we've been waiting for. Down to it, fourth quarter, single digits, in doubt in the last few minutes. Celtics take it. We get a game seven. Now, a lot of this, frankly, is me with wishful thinking, okay? Because what a hell of a sports day that would be for all the dads on Sunday. Just park yourself in your favorite chair all day. U.S. Open into a game seven of the NBA Finals on Sunday night. Yes, please. Or as the great Lewis Tully once said in Ghostbusters, yes, have some. We'll break. We'll come back. Stay right there.